Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, then my sermon came up, an idea for that came up last Sunday in my woman's class. We had a lady last Sunday who was talking about when she visited other churches, how they treated people that didn't have money, that, you know, just weren't the people that you thought should be there, right? So it kind of sparked some study for me last week, and I came up with a little bit, and I found something in Acts 15 that made me think. Now, we know Acts 15 is all about there is some dissension, there are some people teaching that these new people coming to Christ must be circumcised, right? And we know that's not right, so the apostles and the elders are coming together in Jerusalem and having this conversation, and then they were going to kind of put this false teaching to bed a little bit. So they all got up and spoke a little bit. Then all of a sudden, in verse 19 is where I want to start, James got up, said, "Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who would turn to God." So we know he's talking about the circumcision addition to this. We shouldn't trouble them with this, right? Trouble means disturbing them alongside with something else. So they're going to just disturb these guys with the simple message of Christ. And now we're going to start throwing some old law stuff in there, right? So they're going to really put burdens on them that don't need to be put burden on them. That's why if you saw my verse, Christ is not burdensome, right? He's not. His yoke is light. So I'm going to kind of dig into this a little bit. What today do we do possibly that make the new converts kind of feel burdensome a little bit, and maybe people that are thinking about coming to Christ, maybe they have we're putting a little burden on them without even thinking about it, right? I think it happens. But Christ told us in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This study is going to say that let's make sure that we don't make that burden more heavy than Christ did, because I think it's very easy to do today. Or maybe we don't do enough for new converts, too. We're going to look at that as well. So, you know me, I like reading these articles a little bit. So I went to Victorious Family. You know it's got to be right if it's on the internet, right? So Victorious Family. And I kind of did this. What can churches do to make it more palatable for new converts and ones that are looking to come to Christ to actually see Christ within us? So the number one thing they said is to model an authentic faith. When you think of authentic, what do you think of? You can answer when I ask questions. You know me, I'm wide open. So when you think of authentic, what do you think of?
Your true self.
Yeah, real, right? Real. So if I'm authentic and I say, "Justin, if you ever need help, call me up. If you ever need anything, call me, no matter what time it is. You call me up," I go, "I'm too busy." Then you call me up a week after that, "Man, I'm too busy." Am I being authentic to you when I say, "Call me anytime you need me"? That's not being very authentic, is it? So we have to model this authentic faith and show them and just not tell them what the faith is. So the faith in Christ is a servant faith, is a loving faith, is a compassionate faith, and we must model that first. If we are going to tell people, "You need to do this," we better be doing it ourselves. Number two, we need to equip people how to learn how to disciple other people. If we have a group here and we have a new convert coming in, nobody knows how to disciple them, knows how to mentor them, what's going to happen? More than likely, they're going to fall through the cracks. They're either going to give up or they're just going to be a pew warmer. One of the two. We don't want that. We don't want that. Number three, address doubts and questions, especially from the youth, right? Address these doubts and questions without a superiority complex. They come up and ask us, "Is Jesus real?" Well, of course he's real. We've taught you this from day one. That doesn't do any good for them, right? Show them that Christ is real. How do we show them that Christ is real? How could we show somebody Christ is real?
Use examples in our own life how Christ has helped us.
Yeah. And show him through our life, right? What has Christ done for me? And we can tell them, but it's better to show them. Show them some love. Show them some compassion. Put their needs in front of yours, right? Just be that kind of a person that Christ was for us first. Number four, have a more vigorous church life. 100% agree with this one. More vigorous church life. What does that mean, right? Brent, you're being weird again. So we had a prayer meeting the other night. We should have prayer meetings all the time, I think. We should have them all the time because people are always in need of prayer here. And as we saw in the Bible, when the disciples were in prayer, things happen. Things happen, right? Somebody got released from jail when they were all praying together, if we remember that. So we got to remember that works. We also need to serve together. Not just here, we need to serve together out in the world. We need to show people Christ through our actions and through our communal actions. I think that's very important. I think that's very important. And that's not only good for the people outside the world, that is great for the people that are actually serving and for the ones that are knowing their church family is serving together. Again, it gives them a purpose a little bit. And be, Josh has preached on this a lot, be more active in each other's lives. A church can't be a church without being the family. That's what we are. We're supposed to be a family. We can't be a family without spending time with one another. Unless you're my weird uncle that I don't want everyone in my house. We don't want to be that kind of family, right? We want to be the family that loves one another, supports one another. If you got a problem, you can bring it up in front of the group and know you're not going to be attacked. That's the kind of family that we want. Most of all, we need to love more. And love sometimes isn't easy, right? Sometimes you got to love the people that aren't loving you back. But we have Christ, the greatest example of that of all time. How much did he love those people that were nailing him to the cross when he said, please forgive them? And he knew he was going to die for them, for that forgiveness. It's amazing to me. We need to have more compassion with one another. Compassion goes a long ways. See somebody struggling, I feel for you. I'm not going to judge you because I struggle too, right? And we need to have some compassion. We need to have a lot of grace. We need to think the best about one another instead of condemning one another before we even know the backstory. And a lot of mercy. And that sounds like Christ, right? And we are the church of what? Christ. So why won't we want to be like Christ? So this is what Christ looks like. We need to be more encouraging and less condemning. And that doesn't just mean when we're together, that means when we get in the car and leave, right? It's very easy to nitpick people when they're not in front of you. It's very easy to do that. We got to make sure we're not doing that. Maybe instead of judging someone for their struggles, we should do the following. Matthew 7. Does anybody remember how Matthew 7 starts out? It's the famous one that non-Christians will tell you to go to. Do not judge, right? That's how it starts out. But we're going to start in verse 3. So instead of being judgmental, we need to do this. Why do you not see the speck in your own brother's eye, but you do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take a speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be clearly able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So if I see you struggling with something, I don't care what it is, smoking, whatever it is, I don't really care what it is. If I see you struggling and I feel that urge to condemn you for that or to say, why can't you get over that, what should I do first? Pray. Pray's a big one, right? So if I pray right when I get that feeling of contentment and I want to condemn you, if I pray right away, that's taking me to God, and that should tell me that maybe I need to do something in my own life and judge my own life before I start condemning you for your life, right? Because who am I to condemn you for struggling with something when I got 5 or 6 struggles over here that I cannot take care of myself? We've got to be very careful we're not doing that. So have you ever really thought about, though, when you're looking at somebody and you're seeing their bad things and you got a log sticking out of your eye? So what does that tell you about the other person looking at you that you are condemning in your own mind? What do they see?
They see a
huge hypocrite because you got this huge problem. Number one, even if you don't have any other problems, you got a big problem with condemning them without judging your own life. That's a log. That's a huge log in your eye. So we got to make sure that we are not going to be that kind of people that are going to go around and condemn people without judging our own. Because once we take a log out of our eye, why is it easier for us to help them? You can see clearly. And maybe you can use the pulling out of your own eye to help them, because this is how I took my log out. Now, if you need help with your spec, I'm here to help you. Yeah, we can't see clearly with that big log sticking out of our eyes, so we got to make sure we don't do that. But I was thinking, I've been here. I've judged people. I've judged people for their smoking. I have judged people for their anger outbursts, for their lying, for their gossiping, for their drinking, for thinking too highly and prideful of themselves. But guess what? I've been pretty much in all of those. So that makes me no more than a hypocrite, right? I think the world has a good view of what the Christian church is sometimes. We are the Bible thumpers. We are over-judgmental. And we're too slow to be compassionate and to be loving and to be helpful. And that's what Christ came. He wasn't judgmental to us. Only when we don't submit to Him. That's the only time we get judgment from Him. He always wants us to submit to Him and just let it go. And I'll take care of it, He says, right? Why can't we be like that to other people? It's okay. It's okay what you've done. But that's work on getting better. I'm not going to condemn you for it, but I'll definitely be here to help you if you need help, right? It's something. But then we also look at the little bit else. What if they're struggling with self-worth? We see people that are struggling with self-worth and struggling with worrying about everything, anxiety and everything. And what's one of the first things that come out of a Christian's mouth towards those people? Pray. Just give it to God. Is there something wrong about saying something like that? It's probably true, right? But do we know what they're actually, how that actually feels? If they're struggling with anxiety all the time and everything, do we really know what they feel? If we don't really know what they feel and we haven't been through it, I would say be careful what you say to them. I would say, I will pray for you and I'm always here if you need anything, right? But when we start condemning people for these things, it's not only driving a wedge between them and us, it's probably driving a wedge between them and God. And I've noticed that in my own life. I've been way too quick to judge people and just to give them the condemnation instead of just saying, hey, I'm here for you. I get it. I struggle with stuff all the time. We're all in the same boat here. We all struggle. So we need to make sure we're loving one another enough to get through this. But what can we do? What can we do? Instead of doing that, what can we do? Instead of condemning each other, does the Bible give us any direction of what we should do?
Love first.
Love first. And 2 Thessalonians kind of spells it out to me chapter 5, starting in verse 14. This is Paul speaking, of course. He says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle." So what admonish isn't a really uplifting term, right? Admonishing is like warning. Sometimes calling out. And idle, what do you think idle means there? Admonish the idle.
It could be anything you put before God. You know, like money or job.
It can be that, yes. It really means anybody that's unruly. So if they're unruly, and I kind of think of don't try to do something with a contentious person. I kind of think of it that way. It doesn't really spell it out exactly. But warn them. Warn them. But, get this, encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak and be patient with them all. So the only ones we are to warn are the ones that are kind of causing trouble. Everybody else that are struggling with these sins that they're struggling with, they're having these problems in their life that they're really struggling with, we're supposed to love them and be patient with them and encourage them. It's kind of interesting when you think of somebody as being unruly. You kind of think, I almost kind of think of somebody that doesn't think they need a savior. They think they're good. They think they're too good for everybody else. We're supposed to warn them people. But everybody that knows they're not good, too good for everybody else, we're supposed to help them, encourage them, lift them up, be there for them. It's kind of interesting. Our job as a Christian is a little bit different than maybe we think it is. Our job is not to condemn anybody. Our job is to be there to help. It's pretty interesting. So I got a few steps here that I want to challenge you guys to do with me for each one of us. Number one, which is probably one of the hardest things for me to do, think the best of each other. If somebody says something that ticks you off, think the best of it. Think maybe I didn't understand what he was thinking. Maybe they were having a bad day and they're just, ugh. How many people here have ever had a bad day and said stupid things that they wish they could take back? Okay. I think everybody should raise their hand there because it happens to everybody. I don't care how good you are, it's going to happen. You're going to mouth off to somebody and you're going to go, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. So we need to think highly of one another and just give each other a little bit of grace in that area, a little bit more grace in that area. And if they do that, let us forgive one another without reservations. What do I mean without reservations? I'm going to forgive you, but don't ever do it again. Well, I'm going to probably do it again. That's why Jesus said, don't just forgive them once. Keep forgiving them when they ask and they repent. Just keep doing it. Because we're all humans. We all screw up. We're all broken. Which needs to be said more often in the church, I believe. Let us work together. Is it easier to get along? Is it easier not to put one another down? Is it not easier to think of bad about one another? If you're out serving together and you're out being like Christ together, is it easier to not have them feelings of condemnation towards one another? I think it is too. I think it is too. Because we see their loving heart. We see them serving like Christ did to other people. It's a lot easier to think great things of one another when we're doing good things. Let us surround the new converts and make sure that they are loved. It's pretty hard being a new convert, a new Christian. It's pretty hard. It makes it pretty easy, a lot easier though, when you got a group of 20, 30, 40 people that you know are in your corner. But don't think that we're just in your corner. You got hundreds of people in the area, thousands of people probably, that are in your corner. And they understand how hard it is to be a new Christian. Do not ever think, I don't want to be a new Christian because I'm going to be alone. You aren't alone. Never will be alone. Okay? Let's make sure they are protected, the new converts. It's very important, right? How many people here have had children and just threw their baby out in the street and said, take care of yourself? Wouldn't last very long, would they? So why would we ever do that to a new convert? Just take care of it on your own. We can't do that. We've got to make sure they're protected, fed, encouraged. And anybody that's wanting or thinking about becoming a convert, we're getting better at that here, I believe. More of the loving, service-type people that are there for one another. We're growing in that every day, I believe. We just need to push each other a little more. If you're not comfortable doing something, maybe just try it. Just try it. Go out and try it. And you might be surprised that, yeah, this is pretty awesome. I got brothers and sisters around me doing it with me. It's pretty awesome. So just be encouraged and stretch yourself a little bit. So why am I saying all this? Why am I saying that we need to do all these things? I do believe we are going to see a growth here. I just believe it. I mean, if you don't believe it, and not trying to do it, it's never going to happen. If you believe it and you work towards that goal, it's going to. I think we're on a verge of the world is getting so crazy and so dark that people are looking for a light. And I think the more light that we can be in this world, the more people that we are going to attract to God. And I don't know why I got that feeling, but the darker you see this world getting, the more, I tell you what, if I wasn't with God and I was in this dark world, I'd be looking for something. Because there's nothing out there that I want. I don't want all, you can't trust anybody, you can't believe hardly anything, and they're all out for money, they don't care about you. It just seems that the way that is going, and I just pray that we are the people that they see God through, is what I'm hoping. But there's even a more important part of this. Jesus told us why to do this. In John 13:35, he told us exactly why we are supposed to do this for one another, these things. It's very important. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If we don't have love for one another and we're not showing it, are they going to see Christ? Are they going to know that we are his disciples? We got to do this. It's not an option. Christ has commanded us to love one another. And that's not something that just comes overnight. It takes a lot of practice, right? So I do know there are some people that are thinking about Christ right now and thinking about maybe I want to give my life to him, but I'm not sure. I've been there. I struggled for quite a while. As you all know, I struggled with my Methodist faith that I was baptized as a baby. I thought I was good to go. I thought I was with God. I found out I wasn't with God by studying His Word. And it was a point in my life where I said, I either can hold on to the past or I let go of the past and I grab Christ. It's one of the two. You cannot hold on to the past, ungodly past, and grab onto Christ at the same time. You've got to let go, and you've got to grab onto Him. And me and Josh were studying one Tuesday morning back here, and I read Acts 2:30, I think it was like 2:35 to 2:41. I just looked at him and I said, okay, find who you can find in 10 minutes. I'm getting baptized because I'm done with this. I know what I need, and I know what the answer is. And he didn't even... He goes, are you sure? I go, yeah. I said, I'm ready. I don't care if there's bugs floating on there and the water's 31 degrees or nothing. I don't really care. And it just happened, right? God touched my heart then. He broke that barrier. And I felt it. And everybody's told me in the church, feelings don't trust your feelings. I tell you what, when I read that, I had the feeling that I was lost. I needed Him. And He was the only one that could help me. And that's part of the Beatitudes that we just read this morning, the poor in spirit. At that moment, I was poor in spirit because I realized I needed Him. And nothing I could do that could save me. And I submitted it to Him in baptism. And I tell you what, did everything get fixed right away? No. But I told Him, when I find something in Your Word that conflicts with what I'm doing, I'm going to change. I'm going to try to change. It's not going to be an instant thing, but I'm going to work on change. And now I know I'll have a family here to help me. Change is hard. But even us that have been baptized, I think some of the stuff we went over this morning, we have to change. Especially about the thinking the best of one another. That is so important to think of. Because when somebody hears you backbiting a brother or sister, if they're not in the church, it's going to ruin it. It's going to absolutely ruin the message of Christ. It's going to ruin. But if they say, man, this guy was struggling, I think we should go serve him. I think we should go serve him. Do you know how much that might touch somebody that you don't even know that's even around you? That might absolutely be all they need to hear, and they might ask you a question, hey, why are you doing this for somebody like that? You know? So let's just be that light, that salt that Christ wants us to be. That He commands. He doesn't want us to be that. He commands us to be the light and the salt. And if it's command, we don't have an option. We better learn how to do that. And that all starts with love. Love for God, number one. Because if we don't love God, we don't love Christ, number one, everything else is worthless. We love Him, and we love every one of our brothers and sisters. It all makes a perfect package, and that's what God wants from us. He wants this package that can help us grow one another. We can build one another up, and we can get ready to go out to work together in the world and bring more disciples to Him. It doesn't matter how broken you are. Christ still died for you on the cross. You're just as important as everybody else. And the Bible says if somebody comes in ratty clothes, what are we supposed to do? Treat them like human beings. That's all we got to do. We can't look down on people, because if we're looking down on people, that means we are low. We need help. We don't have what we have, what we need. So that is my message this morning. If anybody needs any help, if anybody has any praises or any prayer requests, or if you're ready for Christ, time is now. It's always open, right?